the last Sunday of Advent. Advent is what? Well, it's the four Sundays that lead up to Christmas, the birth of Christ. And during these four Sundays, we've been lighting candles and we've been talking about what those four Sundays mean. You recall that the first Sunday, we talked about hope. We talked about the hope that Israel had for Messiah coming, and the hope that you and I have, the expectation, the anticipation that God is going to send his Son again. He's going to return to earth to take his people home. We also talked on the second Sunday about peace. And in peace, we don't talk about the peace that we're looking for in the Middle East. We're not talking about the peace, all that would be part of it. We're not talking about peace that will cause countries to lay down their weapons, although that will be part of it. We talk about the peace that only Christ can give. Jesus said things like this: my peace I leave with you. Not the peace that the world gives, do I give you, but my peace I leave with you. Also, we're told that the peace of God, we're beware when people say peace, peace, when there really is no peace. And without it, in Christ, we can find that peace that no matter what's going on around us, we're able to live in that peace that we know and can give. Last week, we talked about joy. We talked about that kind of contentedness in Christ. And all we have is because of the hope we have, and because of the peace we have, and the relationship we have with the person of Jesus, that brings us into a right relationship with him and God our Father. And that brings us the joy of the Lord Christ can give. Joy in abundance, joy overflowing. Finally, today, we arrive at the place where we are going to talk about love. Because this is the Sunday in which we talk about Christ's love, God's love for humanity. And we would light the fourth candle that malfunctioned today, and we would make a big deal of the fact that this is the Sunday that we celebrate the love of Christ. Now, there is something about the love of Jesus I want you to know. The love of Jesus came down from heaven. It came down in a person. The love of God came down in a person to set things right, to make our relationship right. And when I tell you that he came down from heaven, I want you to get that picture in your head of a vertical line up and down. I want you to get in your head that perspective that God is of a man, but he chose to become like us in every way. He took upon himself the form of a servant and emptied himself and became obedient to death, even death on the cross. He was tempted in every way as you and I are, and he chose to come into that life because he loves us. So that's that vertical line that God extends to us. But there's another love I want to talk about today, and that is the love that we have around. That's the love that we have for those around us. How many of you are familiar with the TV show Seinfeld? So you all know about Festivus. Festivus is a made holiday that Seinfeld people made up. Today, Jesus has arranged that my four children, three of my four children, and the family will be coming to the house to see us. And this morning, there was a debate about the time. Some people wanted it to be at 1 hour, and some of the other folks wanted it to be at another hour. As I'm speaking to you, I'm going to text from today. Anyway, I forgot to text this morning because I didn't get out only 1 hour to 4 o'clock. And it was a picture from Seinfeld, one of the characters in Seinfeld, and it says, Festivus. And there will be airing of grievances at 4 o'clock today. So today at 4, I'm going to air a few of my grievances. I might even wrestle today. We'll see what happens. But the love that we have to bring around us. This is the kind of where we do that.
So today
right?
At 4, I'm going to air a few of my grievances. I might
even. We do those kinds of things, and we need to know that there's a certain love that God gives us for each other that will never be right. That horizontal love of each other that will never be right unless this vertical love is right with God through Jesus. And that's what I'm going to talk about to you. But you know what I've been using? That series, The Chosen, as kind of a footer for the messages. And I want to play one of the group clips for today. There's going to be two. The first one's pretty brief. And the message that The Chosen, what it's going to do right here, right now, is we're going to see the shepherds realize that there's been the baby born. And they've been told by the angel, the scripture that I read to you today, and we'll read it again in a moment. They've been told that baby has been born, and they are to go and see it. And so with that in mind, let's watch the video, and then we'll read the story.
To us, a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and forevermore.
What are the shepherds doing in that video? They were telling people, weren't they? They were telling, and the reason they were telling is because they had experienced Jesus. Through this series, we saw the video a while back, and I'm going to play it again a little bit, where the shepherds come into the very place where Jesus is born, and when they experience that, when they experience the love that they've been waiting for, that they knew about was coming, when the angels had told them to go to Bethlehem and see, when they experienced it, they immediately said, Jesus, we've got to go tell somebody. I want to read the scripture to you that tells this story one more time, and I'm not going to read it word for word. I'm going to read it to you in Joel's paraphrase. There are these shepherds that are out in the field, and they're doing their job and minding their own business. When God decides that he will send an angel to them, and that angel is going to glow and shine a light all around them, and they are going to be scared to death. And the angel is going to say to them, don't be scared. I got good news for you and for all the people, which is not written here that day. For all the people, right? All you do is born this day in Bethlehem, the Savior that you've been waiting on. You'll find that baby wrapped in a cloth, and you'll be lying in a barn. And suddenly, a multitude of the heavenly hosts began to say, glory to God, in the very highest, and on this earth peace, with those whom God is pleased with. The angels disappeared, and the shepherds looked at each other and said, we've got to go see it. Let's go to Bethlehem. The Lord has told us about something we've been waiting on for years. And they ran, and they found Mary, and they found Joseph, and they found the baby, and the grandfathers, and the great-grandfathers, and everybody that came before them had been looking for, even if they didn't know they were looking for. They saw it. They saw him. And they made this saying known. Mary and Joseph, the angels told us about this child. We have to go tell others. And so they did. And when they went, these Roman shepherds, these separate people from society, these smelly folks, picked up unearthly, ungodly things in their job. Wondered why they were telling them this good news. The angel said, this one back to verse 11 just a minute ago, you're not. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. You know, we talk a lot of times about who would you go tell? How would you have Jesus born if he was born? I would have never. God does some pretty strange things when he's got to say something. He usually takes out the least and the last to tell the greatest to the best. He usually picks out the unexpected to tell the very story that we're expecting. And he goes out into a field with a group of shepherds who are doing the lowliest work on earth and says to them, I'm going to show you something. And Matthew, you've seen it, you're going to go show others. We talk a lot about who they attend to first. And I'm not talking about Peter and John, I'm talking about the women. Why did God let the women go first? The whole society was based upon men being taught. But it was the women. Here in this society, you think God would have let the religious leaders. And he says to them, you go see. And so they do. And Luke tells us pretty plainly, doesn't he? That they went. They went and saw, and when they saw, they went and told everybody else. And that brings me to the basic ending of this morning's message. He came, right, to vertical. They went. Are y'all with me? He came. They went. The shepherds are really and truly the first evangelists of Jesus. The angel said, this child that you will see and that you've now seen, he's a savior. What was the phrase? For all people. For all people. These shepherds were made for this role. The last week I said something, nobody in the house got it. And I'll stop, not that you care. Not that you care. But I said to you, you know, if anybody, I told you I was leaving in July, and I said, if anybody knows where there's a wrecking yard that's looking for a yard boy, I would be available. Now you people laugh. Got that is something when I was about 16, I went to a wrecking yard. It's just across the railroad tracks from my house. And it changed my life. You would not believe what goes on in junkyards. It was remarkable to me. And I began to just go there to work. When I get paid, eventually they started paying me because I was doing so much work. And they became great friends of mine, Bill, his two boys, his wife, the whole family. They became great friends. I am still friends with them to this day. They'll pass on to the bigger with you. You know what I learned in a wrecking yard? I learned how to talk to people. I learned that the only thing in a wrecking yard, most folks that are there, not most folks, but many folks that are there, at least at the one I was at, their English wasn't quite what you're taught in grammar school. And their vocabulary was colorful. And you had those people on a regular basis. I think probably did that in every other job. But I was like 15, 16. And I learned how to talk to people. I learned how to do things where you get your hands dirty. I learned how to get stuff on you that took a lot of soap and sometimes some gasoline and kerosene to get off of you. I learned how to do some really wild stuff. Shepherds cared for sheep. Now, I have one sheep. He's in my office right now. You all know who's involved. Sometimes sheep get sick. And that's when you wish you didn't have sheep, right? Sometimes sheep do strange things. But one thing sheep always needs, they need fed, they need water, they need care for. You know what shepherds did for sheep? They fed them, they cleaned them up. They protected them, they cared for them, they led them away from the danger, they took them to the places they needed to go to find food. Shepherds knew how to deal with protection, with care, with feeding, providing. Well, sometimes pulling the sheep from danger of losing their life itself. That's who God came to in the form of angels. He said, well, what's happening? And he said, shepherds rushed to Bethlehem, and after they rushed to Bethlehem to see it, and they saw it,
so someone else would do it.
They rushed away from Bethlehem to tell everybody that they could. You know, God seems to do it this way. He comes We know. John put it this way. There was a man sent from God. His name was John the Baptist. What does John the Baptist do? He's the forerunner of Christ. What does John the Baptist do? He stands at the River Jordan and he points. And what does he say? Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And not too much longer in that story, all of John's disciples are saying, hey, John, the people that were following you are now following him. John says that's how it's supposed to work. He comes. We know. You get to the book of Acts. We read this story today about the shepherds in the book of Luke. Luke wrote the book of Acts. I want to point out to you that one of the very first things that Luke says in his writing of Acts is this. You will be my witnesses in Judea and Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria to the uttermost parts of the earth. You're going to go. When the Holy Spirit comes on you, I'm not going. I'm going back up. You're going to go, he says to his disciples. Think about it. Here in a few, in several weeks, in January, it's going to be the Sunday where we remember the wise men, right? The Magi. What do the Magi do? They come to see what's happened. We've seen his star in the east. And then they go back to what? To take the message. He comes down. We know how. It seems to be the way that God works. Now, let's stop just to take this moment to say to you what was our journey. He came to send you. He came to send us. Look at your word again. That verse I just quoted for you. You'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness. In Jerusalem, that means right here where you live. In Judea, that means right over there in Massillon, or maybe Lake Township, or maybe down towards Tuscarora County. You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and in Samaria, the place none of us want to go. And you'll be my witnesses in the uttermost parts of the earth. He came down. So we could be responsible, obedient, and do what he told us to do, to go. Let me stop saying something to you here for a minute. He wants us, because he came down to love us, he wants us to go to love others and to share the love that he has given for us. That's what Christmas really is all about. The hope and the peace and the joy of Christ. Love that he extends to us so that we can extend it to others. Every family has problems, doesn't it? Well, your family doesn't have problems. I'll be getting together with them today, and there's at least one of them that can get under my skin. I guarantee you. But they'll never know which one it is. You know why? Because I love people. Without reservation. They can't push my buttons. You ever had people push your buttons? You ever had your love hit low? I want you to think about Jesus for a minute. And what he did will be hard for us to do. How did most of love? And we go. Sometimes we have to go to the ones that are here to stuff. You ever been to a hearing aid? You ever been betrayed and not asked to forgive the betrayal? We've all had that experience. I know you have. Say, you know what he did to me, or you know what she did to me? And today, as the modern technology, the entire earth is not like this today. Sometimes the person at the end of the earth can be right out of the end of your driveway. Did you know that? Sometimes the person at the end of the earth can be sitting at the desk next to you in your workplace. Sometimes the person at the end of the earth will be that other on the Zoom call. Not necessarily on the other side of the world. Churches talk a lot, and I'm going to compliment you with Brooke Park here a little bit. You take it nicely. Churches have been living for decades and decades and decades, thinking that they're going. And really, all they're doing is taking care of themselves. I like visiting church. Then somebody walks into the church that maybe doesn't quite see it that way, and they're basically told, oh, you know, maybe this isn't the place for you. Because you look like John the Baptist. Or you look like a guy from a wrecking yard. Somebody pointed out that boots on today. Was that you, Jimmy? Look at my boots. Diane, I debated the boots. We got all kinds of likes and dislikes, don't we? That depends on your stuff. What you may think is the end of the earth in your life, is Jesus is the closer to your heart. And that's what he said. Churches can live for years and years and decades and decades and never really get the message. But the house of love that would be to love all your toes and arms. Let's go park. I believe you started the end of the earth. I believe you started. And I know we're talking to you today, who knows the minute details of the situation. We can think, you know, we can't afford to do this, or we don't have the people to do this, or we don't have the energy to do this, or we can't see what's coming around the corner, so we're not going to do anything. I want to tell you something. If God had allowed Jesus to think about what he was going to go through your permission, well, he did. Why, in the garden, praying, he said, Father, if there's any other way, nevertheless, I will be done. There was no other way. Because true and true love meant he had to go to that cross. And that pure love that he gave to us, that when he came down, he lived and died for us. It's what he calls us to go out and give to others. The unlovable, the unlovely, the disagreeable, the disheveled, the dirty, and the clean. Even those that think they are people. You will be my witnesses here, there, and everywhere. You know why the shepherds left that scene and called others? Because they truly experienced God's love for them in the person of a baby that they've been waiting on for centuries. Watch one more video. Thank you. Once the chapter is written following that thing is written in Nineveh, what can be said? People will stop. The other three chapters took out part of what they had been waiting for. They stopped. The church on that thing, once you know, you back up. He said, I want to be mindful.